sometimes if it's someone throwing their hands up in the air or taking their pants off, maybe that's the SportsCenter highlight that's going to get the rule to be changed. That's all I'm saying.
You have to pick and choose your battles. And what Romo did yesterday made him look more guilty than innocent.
Billy, have a great day, kid.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you.
Welcome to our 8 o'clock hour now for our second hour of our podcast. Welcome in.
Jesse Rogers on the Cubs and Sox.
And we will get to Ben Zobrist, his minister, and his wife. Wow.
All in 2 minutes.
Cap. J-Hook.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
To talk some baseball.
This guy just never ceases to amaze me.
Who? Huh?
You. Oh. Jesse Rogers is fueled by the Pride Stores. Not your typical convenience store. Check out one of their 15 Chicagoland locations today. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good first hour. Great, great baseball discussion.
Yeah, wait till we get into the Zobrist stuff.
Well, we'll get into the salacious stuff later. My God. This guy here, it's like working with General Hospital over here. He just loves the salacious talk, Jesse. Let's talk about what's on the field. As a White Sox fan, I don't feel like it's, Danny's saying it's panic time. You lose against the Astros, that was tough. But yesterday's loss against the Pirates, that was a tough one to swallow, especially after Giolito pitched well.
Yeah, yesterday's an indication that they're just in a rut. I mean, they were 26-6 against -500 teams going into yesterday. So they get swept against the Astros. You could say it's a good opponent. But when you add this one, they're just in this little rut. It does happen. I've heard your callers. I think they've been pretty smart this first hour. I do think this run is starting to sort of inform Rick Hahn. It's good it's happening now and not in August after the deadline. Like, I don't think there's any doubt they need a bullpen arm, even when Michael Kopech comes back. And talk about missing guys because of injury, he might be at the top of the list. Last night's a great example. They take that lead 3-2. He could pitch the seventh and the eighth as a bridge to Liam Hendricks. But even when he comes back, they might need to go get another arm. I mean, Cap, you said it. You take the Cubs bullpen, put him on the south side, that's a World Series team. Because Cody Hoyer and at times Aaron Bummer, although he's had some bad luck, Crochet last night, they haven't been as good as advertised. And this is now over the course of, several months, not just that slow start they had. So I think you guys would agree. They need a bat. They need an arm, maybe multiple arms, depending on how things go these next 4 weeks. We'll see.
All right, let me ask you this question, because ESPN wrote a very insightful article, and usually their most insightful articles come with your byline. But they listed one player each team should consider acquiring. For the White Sox, it was Trevor Story. Trevor Story's a beast, man. This guy's an all-star. And I went back and I asked Hoodie, tell me where he ranked at the start of the season, MLB.com, ranked the best 10 at every position. Where's Trevor Story rank among shortstops?
I would say he's probably 7.
1.
Trevor
number
Story's one.
One. Well, the best shortstop in the sport. I got people tweet, well, where are we going to play him? He's a freaking superstar.
Where are you going to play him? Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
We got Alexi. We don't need Jeter.
Well, two several things. First of all, the best shortstop in the game playing in Colorado shouldn't have an on-base percentage of .329, which is what he has right now. He's not having the best.
He's been banged up.
Yes, I know. And he's in Colorado. You'd have to move him to second. If you're going to make one big move for a hitter, that would not be my choice. I would choose a left-handed bat like Kyle Schwarber, for example. They are short from the left side. They have been since January, to be honest, since the offseason. I don't see the big deal in Trevor Story outside of Colorado and in the year that he's kind of having. I don't consider it. And if he's your bet, what are you, moving Tim Anderson? I mean, you're talking about him being great offensively and defensively.
I'm not saying I'm moving him. I'll put Story, unless I re-sign him, I'm putting him at second base the rest of the year.
I don't love it. I'm not going to turn down Trevor Story if that's the only bat they can get. But I'd rather get a lefty slugger. I mean, they do not have enough from the left side. The Astros series exposed them for that. These tough righties around the league, Gerrit Cole, the Astros pitchers, they will shut down the Sox in October. You have to have a lefty or two that can run into a home run. And Makata's good, and Grandel certainly did yesterday, but they don't scream danger in terms of slug. Makata can, but not in terms of home run potential every time they're at the plate, in my opinion.
I liked what I saw from the Cubs yesterday with Kyle Hendricks on the mound, and the offense came through. Jesse, I said in hour number one of our show, man, I'm just a Wilson Contreras fan, man. How often do you see someone giving the extra effort to get a double on what should be just a base hit for everybody else?
No, he hustles. He hustles. Sometimes he's overly aggressive on the base pass. He's not known as the best on the base pass, but he always hustles. Look, he's one of the best catchers in the league, and he has been for a couple years, Jay Hood, at least a couple years. If they keep him healthy, he will continue to be that guy. You know, sometimes he gets the hamstrings going, and he's got 1 year left on his deal. You would expect them to sign him up because they haven't really signed anyone else up, and he's such a luxury, a hitting catcher like he is. There's not that many in the league. Of all the guys we've been sort of critical about over the last few years, Cap, you would try. I don't think Contreras has been among those guys. Like, we've seen the fluctuations in Baez and Bryant and Schwarber and Rizzo at times, but Contreras has been pretty consistent. He'll have his slumps, but it's funny. You know, a couple, 3 years ago, he's probably too emotional. He's too this, he's too that, but he's always a pretty consistent player. So I like Contreras, and there's no reason not to sign him up because it's hard to find those kind of hitting catchers.
So you're locking him in, right, Cap?
I would lock him in.
For sure. As we continue to debate, Jesse, like Baez versus Bryant, for sure, Contreras is not a guy.
Jesse, that's the first. I told Hoodie, that's the first guy I'm locking up. I'm going to him going, you're a 28-year-old or 27-year-old catcher.
Yeah.
You play with fire and passion. You hustle. You got an arm. Yeah, I'm signing Wilson Contreras, and I'm getting it done sooner rather than later.
No, I agree with you. And I will tell you, a year or two ago, I'm not sure the Cubs would have agreed with you. I think they thought he was too emotional. He was pissing off umpires. He wasn't framing the ball very well for his pitchers. I think he called a good game. But I think his game is kind of rounded out. Like, he's matured. He's matured. So I'm in agreement with you. Look, all those other guys are in their free agent years, breaking the bank. I will say this. Wilson Contreras has never made a lot of money in the league like those other guys did, even through arbitration. So does that mean he needs to break the bank, or is he willing to take a nice deal because it's money he's never seen before? I think that conversation needs to happen. And don't wait until mid-year next year, right? Let's do that sooner rather than later, because when you wait, things just go bad. I mean, the agent gets nervous. Let's take him to free agency. The player says, screw it, I've been waiting this whole time. Do it sooner rather than later with Wilson, because it hasn't worked with anyone else.
You're not saying like Contreras was on the Miguel Montero list, was he? He wasn't that bad, right?
No.
No,
okay.
It was a different emotional.
Hey, robot umpires are coming, and that means I don't give a flying rip about pitch framing.
All right, hang on there. Hang on a second.
It's actually not a bad point, you know?
I get emotional.
Jesse, What are the Cubs going to do, or what can Hayward do to turn things around? It's one thing that you're on the injured list, but when we look back at this, we can look at it now, but when he's done as a Cub, it's one of the really worst contracts that the Cubs have had, as far as you wanted the production from Hayward, but you got the gold glove. That's not what you signed them up for. So how does this turn around for him?
Jay, if it hasn't turned around by now, I'm not sure that it will, and he still has 2 years left on his deal.
Yeah.
You know, made a nice play on defense and right yesterday, but that's going to probably decline over the next couple years as well. I don't know. He becomes a part-time player. I mean, I think that's the answer. Everyone's asking me what happens when Horner and Duffy come back. They got to get in the lineup. Happ and Hayward are just killing you. I mean, they're batting averages. I know we don't focus on that too often, but that tells the story. So I don't know he can turn around. I think he becomes a spot player. Spot starter, you know, more bench than playing, but that may not happen this year. That may happen next year. But Ross knows this. I will say Ross understands what he's facing with guys like Happ and Hayward. And if they don't turn it around, there's a couple guys on the injured list that are going to take their spot. I don't think there's no other way to look at it. My point is they're not hitting like 230, which is about league average, 220. They're in the 160 mark, you know, 170. That's pretty cut and dry if you have someone else that can play those positions.
Jesse, to follow up on what my esteemed partner just asked you, so you have a guy, Baez, who forgets how many outs there are. They pull him. And I agree with it. I know for a fact his teammates agreed with it. We had Riz on. He said, I can't be getting picked off. We can't have what happened with Jock on the pop-up, walking back to the dugout, and the ball blows fair. Fortunately, it got caught on a diving play. Or the Baez thing. But don't you owe the rest of your roster the same level of accountability when you go, hey, man, he's a great dude. He had a great meeting during the World Series. But Jason Hayward offensively sucks. I can't play you, Jason. I can't. I'm trying to win baseball games.
The answer is yes. The answer is yes. But you do also afford a veteran some leash. And it's not like there's a ton of backups that are doing
dude, he gets
better.
$26 million a year. That's his leash.
I get it. I get it. I completely understand it. Trust me, I wrote in the 2016 playoffs he should be benched, and he didn't talk to me for a while. I mean, I get it. And it's coming. It is absolutely coming. Right now, they're a little thin, though. I mean, Wisdom went into a slump. He did homer yesterday. Alcantara had a little slump. They all played better yesterday. But the whole team's been slumping, Cap. There's not a lot there right now without Duffy and Horner around. And we don't even know if they're going to pick up where they left off. So my point is, it's coming. Here's the bigger question. As they move into next season, is he considered a starter? It's hard to imagine that, right? The next 2 years, is he – like, do you get a starting right fielder and he's a fourth outfielder? That's the bigger question, and that's on Jed as much as it will be on Ross. So I'm thinking this year it sort of winds down as him being a starter, and then going into next year, you have to have a new right fielder.
I need to talk to Talk Show Jesse. Is he around?
Fire away.
I always like to talk to Talk because he's unfiltered. He just says what's on his – you know, it's not like ESPN, you know, reporter, you know, Baseball Tonight, Jesse. This is I like the guy I've known for 25 years. So Jesse, you heard us talk about this whole thing with the substances with Major League Baseball pitchers and all that, and I just think that Manfred has just done he's not doing his job as a commissioner. For him to say nothing is a problem, and then you see just what happened in the Nationals game yesterday with the Phillies and Joe Girardi. What do you think of how Major League Baseball umpires are policing this?
All right, I've been listening the first hour. I'm going to agree in part with you, and I'm going to agree in part with Danny, of all people. First time ever for me.
Wow.
I agree with you, Jay Hood. I think you're right on the money. Manfred needs to be out front. This was their rule, his idea to come down on them midseason. The union had very little say in this. You need to be out front in explaining yourself as much as possible when you make a major rule change like this. Ironically, Max Scherzer is like the head of the Players Association from a player standpoint. So ironic because it came down, you know, on him. He made the news last night, and you heard him mention Manfred. I think he is pretty upset, along with the rest of the union, that they didn't have much say in this. But I also agree with Danny, like, two bad pitchers. You've had your way for a while. Did you see the Chris Bryant quote I sent out last night? He's yes. Like, we all agreed with the idea, like, you need this sticky stuff for control, but that was a cop-out. You don't need it. And you know what? We'll take our hit-by-pitches and get a boost in our on-base percentage. Now, in terms of the way it's working, on Monday, there were no problems around baseball. I was at Wrigley on Monday. I was at Wrigley last night. Kyle Hendricks got checked, the Cleveland Indians. So it was no problems. There have been a couple hiccups, and maybe they should eliminate. What's weird is this, guys. This is the part I disagree with. Why they're having regular checks with pitchers. Why even give then the managers the chance to add another check or two? Why do that? You're already doing it almost every single inning. Why should Joe Girardi have a challenge when the umpires are automatically doing it? So to me, that's a mistake, because every other inning you could have a manager challenging the opposing pitcher and the game's going to slow down like it did last night. So I have no sympathy for Max Scherzer in terms of not using the sticky stuff, but I do have some sympathy in terms of the process. He shouldn't have to answer to Joe Girardi when he's already answering to the umpires.
Jesse, have a great day.
Okay, guys, take care.
Take it. That's Jesse Rogers. Poor Ben Zobrist. It's salacious. It's awful. We'll get into it.
It's awful, but we'll get into it.
We'll be all over it.
All right.
Like that minister. Be right back.
Hey, wait a minute.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Again, thank you, Jesse Rogers, fueled by the Pride Stores, not your typical convenience store. Check out one of their 15 Chicagoland locations today. So, Ben Zobrist was always one of the nicest guys you could possibly want to deal with. He was accessible. He was forthcoming. He was the MVP of the World Series.
Yes.
And just a good dude.
So we can talk about this officially now, right?
We can.
Okay.
We absolutely can. It's all over the news.
You and I have, and many of us have had this story in our back pocket, but just could not confirm it or say it out loud.
Correct.
Now we can.
Correct. So he and his wife have, it looked to be, this storybook life. They have their kids. They live in Wrigleyville. Remember when he wore his uniform, Danny? He rode his bike. She made him a paper bag lunch, and he rode his bicycle in his Cubs uniform from the house in Wrigleyville to the ballpark. And she sang the national anthem, and they played that walk-up song, her awful song for his walk-up.
Yes, I recall.
And we thought that, just for the record, we all thought that song was awful before we found out what a type of person she was.
Correct.
Just bad music.
It was just bad. I mean, just awful. And so then the headlines start hitting. We'd heard the rumors that Ben left the team for marital reasons. He forfeited like $6 million in salary to try and save his marriage, to be there with his kids. Mm-hmm. And then he came back in September, finished off the season, and then has never played since. And is still a very talented baseball player.
Having said that,
ex-MLB-er Ben Zobrist is suing. He is suing a pastor, his former pastor, Byron Yawn, for $6 million for allegedly defrauding his charity foundation. And the 14-year MLB veteran and World Series MVP alleges the minister was having an affair with Juliana Zobrist and that it started after Ben sought counseling from the pastor for anxiety, depression, and marital counseling. Yes.
Yeah.
She is posting some salacious pictures for someone who's so out there about their faith.
Some would say sexy.
Sexy pictures.
Yes.
Yes.
Some would say.
And she posted on social media, on Instagram, Mr. Patriarchy. I'm not
naive. Hold on a second, Cap. Let's set the mood here.
Thank you very much.
I didn't know they were Baptists. We're going to the upper room. Oh, God! Not my baby!
No, go ahead.
The lawsuit lays out how, according to Zobrist's attorneys, the pastor was working for the MLB player's charity while sleeping with Juliana Zobrist. The pastor was collecting a $36,000 annual salary for his services. Zobrist was throwing in an additional $10,000 a month to the church.
Take me to the king.
Go ahead.
The attorneys write in the lawsuit that the pastor usurped the ministerial counselor role, violated and betrayed the confidence entrusted to him by the plaintiff, breached his fiduciary duty owed to the plaintiff, and deceitfully used his access as a marriage counselor to engage in inappropriate sexual relationships with the plaintiff's wife. How did Zobrist finally figure out his wife was cheating on him? The story goes that the minister's wife contacted Ben and said, "I think something's up."
Hallelujah.
One thing led to another. Zobrist took a four-month leave of absence from the Cubs. And the infielder said it cost him $8 million in income.
Hallelujah.
She has then posted on social media, "Mr. Patriarchy, I'm not naive to your games any longer.
Again.
You want me small, plastic, and predictable. And oh, I obeyed your rules for so, so long. I was quiet, I was good, and I knew my place."
What do you mean?
But you must not know about me now. You must not know about this community of liberated females, males, and nonconformers.
Tune
me
up.
Because we could smell your BS from a mile away. Mm-hmm. We don't buy into your fear anymore. We don't believe in your small God or fragile religion that requires we edit our bodies and temper our minds to be loved. You can take your games elsewhere, Mr. Patriarchy. I know it scares you. Your God is fear and control. This is love. This is freedom. This is unfiltered, unedited, unashamed. This is me.
Now, that the Mr. Patriarchy, that would be Ben Zobrist, correct?
Apparently.
Okay, just want to make sure, because she didn't name him, you know, say his name, but this is really a mess.
A mess.
I don't like mess, but this is a complete mess here. So we were wondering, I mean, maybe people on the outside were wondering, where was Ben Zobrist? How come he's not playing? And then we come to find out issues with his marriage. But it goes deeper than that. This story is not a blight or a story about maybe being away from religion or not trusting religion. It's just that this pastor saw an opportunity to get a hot wife and Ben Zobrist, who's really deep into the faith and makes a lot of money. This is a way for me to be able to get some of that money.
Correct.
$9 million, did you say?
He walked away from the Cubs for several months, and it cost him $9 million in salary.
$9 million.
Yeah.
How unbelievable is that story? I mean, it happens, sure, but it is amazing this is happening. And then, of course, it's Ben's belief, and then, of course, she's a wife. She's trying to be able to, you know, be able to be with Ben and understand where Ben's coming from, and now she feels like, you know what, I'm away from him. I can do what I want now. I'm going to be free. What does that say for that pastor, though? I mean, one thing to say about his ex-wife. What does that say about that pastor, though? You're supposed to trust someone from the cloth, right?
Correct.
Your deepest, darkest secrets.
Correct.
How we can get back together as a couple or however this is going to work. You're going to trust that guy, and that guy was just not only into your money, but also into your wife, deep.
Yeah.
I mean the relationship. I beg your pardon. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
Yes.
Like,
he's knee deep into that relationship, that pastor.
The pastor's saying you've got to let her spread her wings. You've got to let her explore and be herself, and it will make your marriage stronger. And by the way, make sure you're...
That's not part of the church! They don't play that! Well, some churches might. But nonetheless...
Oh, God.
Come on.
I mean,
she's supposed to, I mean, yeah. I mean, now she spreads her wings and spreads something else.
Yeah.
My God.
I mean, this is, he's the best, man. He's such a good dude.
Zobrist?
Yes.
He just got, man.
He got.
But see, again, it's not just from, I mean, hey, it's not just from the wife. Man, it's just about this guy you're supposed to trust from the Community Bible Church in Nashville. This is where it comes from. The senior pastor, the guy at the top. Now, I'm sure as people say, well, there's religion for it. Well, that's not everybody, and that's not every church. That's not every temple. It's not. This is just a really unfortunate situation for Ben Zobrist. It derailed his career.
Yes.
Now what? I mean, look, I know there's no tag days for Zobrist. He's fine. But just like, that's just a harmful thing to happen in his life. Really bad. And what about that? What about his wife on Instagram? She's got bikini pictures. She's supposed to be, you know.
I showed you the one video. So she's smiling in the video and then she just zooms in on her chest.
Yes. Because she couldn't do that before.
Right.
She was like one of the characters in Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
She's all covered up. You know, so now she's just out there. Now she went from Little House on the Prairie to Baywatch.
Yeah, exactly.
How about that, JR? A little Baywatch action. And how old
are you? I feel like we've been hoodwinked.
Well, apparently Zobrist has been. My God.
I mean, poor Ben Zobrist. Jeez. Not only.
Spreading herself like margarine on toast.
Yes. I mean... Come on, man. By the way, can I get a $3,000 a month salary and can I get $10,000 a month more for my church?
Theo, Ben, I'm in trouble, man.
You think?
Well, it seems like that's your problem. Like, I don't know if Jen has any more money in the coffers for you, pal.
I mean, wow.
If you're Ben, do you go to the Cubs? Like, I'm in trouble here. I'm sure. I mean, they are aware of their situation, but the financial part of it, though, like, you know, what's Benny going to do to recover that money? Sweep up?
Right. And, I mean, does the pastor have the $6 million that Ben's asking for? I would think not.
I think he's putting the money in his pocket and her bikini strap, apparently.
He'll get it from another baseball player.
I mean, come on, Danny. This is really hard.
I mean, it's brutal.
That's a tough spot right there.
It's absolutely horrible.
Justin in Dallas, what's up, man?
Hey, Cap, Hoodie, you all know I love you all to death.
Yes, sir.
I just want to know first and foremost. But I feel like Ben should just take this one on the chin. I mean, as hard as that might sound, but obviously his wife is for the streets and the congregation and the pastor. So just take the L and move on.
The pastor's taking it on the chin. Everywhere else, apparently.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thanks, Justin.
So, yeah, y'all have a good one, though.
You too. Appreciate you.
Thank you. He's a P1, Justin, so we appreciate him checking in on this issue.
All right, 312-332-3776. We connect.
Cap, is this you make the call? Is this an impromptu? Danny, is this you make the call? I don't know what else you could do with that, right? Is this a you make the call or no? Like, what is Zobrist?
No, there's no you make the call on that.
All right, just ask it.
There's only one call on that one.
What's that?
She's wrong. That pastor's horrible.
Okay. I just asked. I didn't know where else. I mean, I just feel bad for Ben. That's all.
Yeah, horrible.
But this lady here putting the camera on her chest like, look, I can do this now. Boop, boop.
Yep.
Boop.
I don't have to be the MLB star's wife. Make sure I get some of that money, though.
Yeah, well, the call should be anyone that's following her, and I don't know why you should unfollow her immediately.
Cap.
I'm not following her.
I don't believe you.
I will hand you my phone at the break, and you can look it up.
Well, you're never going to hand me your phone.
Yeah, no shot.
I'll take it. My phone!
I'll let you look at my phone. 312-332-3776.
What?
We connect the dot with the Bears, Rivers Casino, and Arlington Heights. You want to hear this? It's next.
I want you.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
And welcome to Letters with George. I'm owner George, and Ryan and Matt are our football guys. And I just want you to know we're looking forward to the season. What a wonderful season we're going to have with our Chicago Bears. It's so good to be back after a week of vacation, spending time away in the islands, Coney and Stony. We had a wonderful time on vacation. Well, I noticed that here on my car here, my VW Bug, that there were letters left for me right here on my windshield. So I'm going to get... Mom, hold on a second. I'm doing Letters with George. Stop blowing the horn. We'll be home soon. Anyway, here's a letter here that I found. Small letter. It says here, Dear George. Mom? It says... Dear George, from Alice in Algonquin, who says, Dear George, you better move the team to Arlington Heights. I've been reading about this, and that'll be great for the Chicago Bears. Get out of that f***ing spaceship that you're always in and move to Arlington Heights. Signed, Alice from Algonquin. Well, that's interesting. I have not heard anything about this. I've been on vacation, Alice, and I don't know. Mom, hold on. I'm talking about the Bears. Anyway, I have not read anything because of our Mom, get your ass in the f***ing car. Well, I better go. I've heard nothing about the Bears moving to Arlington Heights. This is George. And let you know that just keep watching and keep following our Chicago Bears. Mom, stop it. I'm getting in the car. I'm getting in the car now. No, jeez.
Wow. That was awesome. Eat your heart out, BBM. Wow. George was a little ruffled at the end.
Mom was trying to get home. Long trip.
Exactly.
Apparently, she could reach over and touch the steering wheel. As George would say, she's pissed off.
Yeah.
So apparently she was ready to go home to watch the People's Court.
Yes, she was not happy. But I think they feel very, very comfortable.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
VW Bug, huh?
VW Bug. Can you see the two of them just cruising down the road?
Herbie.
Wow.
Is that not right, JR? Do I have that right?
Yeah, white with a little stripe down the side. I love it.
So.
That was awesome. Anyway,
yeah.
Thank you, George.
What else do you have?
So you and Danny made a very astute observation yesterday when the news crossed that Rivers Casino had signed an exclusive deal to be the gaming partner of the Chicago Bears. Rivers Casino is owned, the majority shake, a stake, by...
Steak and Shake, yes.
Churchill Downs Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
CDI, as they like to call be known. CDI owns Arlington Park. They own Rivers. They don't want to have anybody put a casino out there unless they're the ones owning it that would compete to take dollars from Rivers. Well, you and Danny said, sounds to me like that might make this deal Arlington Heights a whole lot more palatable.
Well, let's kind of unpack this for a second, because you and I both have sources in the racing industry that told us about the possibility of this happening, right? I always think that if the Bears are ever going to finance a new stadium, I mean, they have money, but you always need help, right?
Yeah, correct.
And so maybe there could be a deal on the table. No matter what Mayor Lightfoot is talking about, she doesn't understand, I think, the strength of the National Football League. If the Bears are going to move, they're going to move.
And she's not going to be around when this deal finally gets
you
finalized.
Don't know that. Get out of here with that. Stop. I mean, again,
dude.
Cap Cass has come in with his column.
Hold
this morning.
On a second.
You don't know.
How long do you think it will take to do all the surveys? It took 3 years for the Rams to get their deal done. They ran three more years of racing at the former Hollywood Park. It's going to take that long to figure out, are we doing this at Arlington Heights here? Are we putting a casino there?
Are we putting...
All of it.
Put the politics. That's not where we're here to talk about your politics.
No, it has nothing to do with it. I don't vote in Chicago.
No, but don't.
As you pointed out.
Yeah, you don't. So you keep your beak out of Chicago. You don't know what's happening.
Okay, Kenny.
You don't know what's happening. Put that to the side, sir. Let's talk about business. All right? That's not where we're here.
Okay, this
is what LS is for. I'm just talking about, we have sources in the industry that says that this could be a possibility because of the deal with the casino.
Correct. Because of the parent,
yeah.
of the parent company.
Right.
CDI.
Does that seem possible?
Yes. 100%. When you hear that, Rivers is not so flush in cash that they're going to be able to finance you a $3 billion, $2 billion stadium. But it can go a long way to giving you naming rights in certain areas of the stadium, potentially naming rights on the stadium. Yeah, there's a lot that could get done, but I think the biggest part of it is that the people that have their interests with Rivers, the same people that own that property, and now we've married them together.
I think that makes sense to me.
Correct.
Does that make sense, Danny, to put all that together? You and I have talked about this. I think that the Bears needing help, there is the influx of cash that's already there, by the way, on that same property. The Bears in bed with Bet Rivers and Rivers Casino. I'm just drawing the line to that being a possibility based on the relationship with the casino.
I'm already buying up land in Arlington Heights as we speak. Bet Rivers Casino is coming to Arlington Heights. I mean, listen.
Bet Rivers Casino.
Bet Rivers Field.
Bet Rivers Field, wow.
The zoning allows for a football stadium, a casino, gambling room, or horse racing. There's 300-plus acres there. According to surveys, they only need 165 acres to build a football field.
With parking,
with
right?
parking. Yeah. You can use 165 acres for the football field and the parking, and guess what, guys? You've got a casino on that site, or you've got a horse track on that site. All of a sudden, that becomes the place to go, be in the northern western suburbs.
So think about this, Cap. You're there for the Bears game, right? And then you could also bet the ponies, too, on the same property?
Yeah. Because you can do the simulcast. You can bet any race anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
That's a huge, huge opportunity for them to have more hotels out there. You've got Route 53. You've got I-90. You've got 290. Like, there's a lot of access points. You got O'Hare. You got Chicago Executive Airport, formerly known as Palwaukee and Wheeling,
yeah.
to get your private jets. You got a lot of what you need there. See, and the train.
See, that's what I like. I like that there's multiple things to do around whatever the new Bear Stadium could be.
Bed River Stadium.
We were calling it Pizza Place.
Yeah, Malnati's will have a spot in there. Do they have enough naming rights? Can they have naming rights to the new stadium? That'd be so Chicago.
Pizza Place is the street it's going to be on.
There you go.
Right. Malnati Field.
I'll meet you at Malnati Field at Bet River Stadium.
No, listen.
So Chicago.
The field better be on Ditka Drive. I mean, Ditka had a deal with Arlington. He had a Ditka's there for a long time. It better be Bet Rivers Stadium on Ditka Drive.
At Wanstead Way.
Get out of here, Wanstead Way. Now you've Dynamite. Just ruined the whole thing.
If it wasn't for those two plays, we would have been in the Super Bowl. Oh, David. Pass the salad.
You got a better shot at Lovey Lane.
Walk down to Trestman Avenue.
Trestman Avenue.
Oh, my goodness.
Trestman's Terrace.
I'll beat your ass at 250 North Washington.
Yeah. Come on down here.
And then Wanstead. Yo, get out of here, Wanstead. Boy, I tell you what, the more and more you see him, the more you think, boy, that guy was a Super Bowl champ. Well, he was with Dallas, but with the Bears.
Not so much.
Well, I mean, you see him on TV. That guy has hardware, apparently.
He does.
Great Bears coach, right? Get out of here. David.
Justin Fields. Justin Fields, who will be playing at Bet Rivers Stadium
Pass
at Pizza
line.
Place Pass at Wanstead line. Way. And
it's not Wanstead Way. Don't put Wanstead in there.
That Fox Point.
fired at Pitt, his own college.
Justin Fields agrees with the plan.
Was he not?
Quarterback.
Yeah, am I lying?
No.
Fired by his own alma mater. Get out of here. Oh, they fired me at Pitt.
If it wasn't
for those three plays.
That's next.
Oh, gosh.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies at Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So, as the Bears build their new stadium, and we could check in, I think things are going on out in Arlington Heights. We have the stadium at Ditka Drive, at Wanstead Way, at Fox Point, at Trestman Place. Ed Hayes tweets at us, Hoodie.
Yeah.
If the Bears name a street for Matt Nagy, it probably won't run anywhere. It'll be a dead end into Pace Place.
It'll be a roundabout.
It'll be a dead end into Pace Place.
Oh, man.
That's pretty good. Ed Hayes, nice job, man. Very well done. So Justin Fields spoke to WGN's Larry Hawley.
Yes.
I don't know Larry, but Larry got some time with Justin Fields, and Justin has been told that he's not competing to be the Bears' Week 1 starting quarterback, and he's okay with that. According to Hawley and WGN, the Bears' plan is to have Fields as the backup to Andy Dalton, and he said, quote, if I don't believe in it, it's not going to work out. So my job is strictly to get better, to be the best quarterback I can be, and help my team win. Fields said he'll stay busy during the next month, as he remains in regular contact with Coach Matt Nagy and prepares himself for training camp. I'm just going to work out, study film, meet with Coach Nagy individually on Zoom, most likely just talk about the playbook, said Fields. Right now I have a base idea of what players we have, so just diving into that more and just focusing on the smaller details, because when you have a big base of it, you can really start detailing each and every specific thing in a play and really get to know it like the back of your hand.
I think that's very classy that he understands, like, hey, I'm going to be the backup. But you know that he is determined, right? It's not like he's never been in this position before.
Right.
At my school, Georgia, you saw what happened there where definitely he should have been the starter. And there was a guy in Jake Fromm that was ahead of him. So mm-hmm. It's not like he's never been in this spot. But you like that attitude, knowing that, yeah, I'm accepting of the plan, but I'm going to get out there at some point.
Correct. And I will do it. Everything they tell me to do. And when the time is right, I'll be ready to play football.
Yeah. So I like that. At least he's on board.
Yep. Totally agree.
Well, we get a lot of things confirmed in June when we usually get that in July and August, right? Usually in training camp, all this stuff. So there's not going to be a quarterback battle, and Justin feels good with the plan. Well, we got nothing to look forward to.
Opening day.
Wait a minute. We like the controversy.
Opening day.
That's a fine one, by the way.
Yes, it is.
You're dropping your water every day now.
Well, fortunately, I have a spill-proof mug. I just got a little on the table here.
Back to the manufacturer. Yeah. So much for your spill-proof mug.
Yeah, you have to pull it close to get it to be spill-proof.
Anyway, what is wrong with you?
NBA draft lotto was last night. Bulls lost. Are you less hopeful in the rebuild now? Plus, screaming A on why the Bulls and every other NBA team should stay away.
That's not what the script says. It says Stephen A. Don't
do
that.
Ben Simmons.
Stephen A. Smith. Right? Is that what it says up there? What do you call Chris Russo? You call him Mad Dog Chris Russo, right? Because that's his name.
Correct.
Give that guy his flowers. His name is Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A., who likes to scream. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
So do you.
True.